God is good all the time. As they say, God is good all the time. And we are so thankful to the Lord for another privilege and another opportunity. We thank God for the dawning of another day, for a reasonable portion of health and strength. We are truly thankful to the Lord. The scripture reminds us it's in Him that we live, move, and have our being. Yes. Regardless of what condition we find ourselves in, we are thankful for another opportunity. We are thankful for another day. And in that day, regardless of the circumstances, when I kneel down on the side of the bed, I thank the Lord. Even in the midst of my pain and my suffering, I thank the Lord. Well, watch out, Reverend Register. I'll stay in my lane here as we lift from the Word of God the treasures essential for our spiritual growth. This is the day that the Lord has made. Oh, let us rejoice and be glad in it. I come here to worship the one true and living God. And I'm so thankful for all that I have witnessed, what I have heard, and what I see. Yes. It's a marvelous thing to be in the family of God. I say that because of the simple fact that there are so many that are outside of the family of God. We are living in some turbulent times. We are approaching the close of the church age. And I'm so glad I'm in that number. Watch out, Reverend Register. Well, we're thankful. We want to take this time to follow proper protocol. First of all, to our pastor, Pastor Minor. I want to thank God that he blessed my soul to have an opportunity to deliver the word of God on this Lord's Day. In the pulpit where he is responsible for all those who are present that are members of this household. He is the shepherd of this flock. He has the appointment and the responsibility of ministering to all that are present. And he elected me for this day, and I thank him for it. Yes, Lord. So we thank God for our leader, our pastor, Pastor Terry Minor. And I would be remiss if I didn't take time to acknowledge Pastor Emeritus Charles Schweiman, the former pastor of this church. We thank God for him and the foundation that he laid. Thank God for my brothers in the ministry.
Thank God for you.
We're truly grateful for your presence on this Lord Day. And to all the deacons that are present, we thank God to see you here and all. To entire congregation, God bless you. Looking out at your lovely faces, we are so thankful for all of you being here. And to my son, my godson, who's here, he didn't stand up, I'm gonna get him for that, but, and his lovely wife, he's with us today. We thank God for him being here. That all being said, there is a word from the Lord. Yes, We were blessed by the melodious voices of the Macedonia choir. And thank God for you. I enjoyed you all in the songs of praise. Yes. Now, if you have your Bible, please turn to the book of Romans and 1 Timothy. We'll be lifting some scriptures from those verses. Romans, the 7th chapter, 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter. Yes, Lord. You get there, say amen. All right. From Romans, the 7th chapter, I want to read 5 verses in your hearing, beginning at verse 21. I'll be reading from the King James Version. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Listen, if you will. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Now, if you will, turn over to 1 Timothy. 2nd chapter. Again, the author is Paul. He penned these words to Timothy, beginning at verse 5 and 6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Yes. And from these verses, we lift our topical message: Jesus, the mediator. Amen. Jesus, the mediator. And as we lift from this text, it's important for us to denote that Paul pens this reflecting on himself. But in the book of Romans, it denotes the doctrine of salvation. And in dealing with salvation, he stresses the importance of the very elements involved in salvation. He has us to understand that salvation first involves justification. Yes, sanctification and glorification. That's what we're dealing with. Justification. How are we justified being the children of God? We sang and we praise the Lord daily. And we worship him specifically on the first day of the week, praising God for all his blessings.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's what we do.
But are we justified?
Well,
all right. Are we justified? To be justified simply denotes or involves us being worthy of God's blessings. But Paul, he deals with the dilemma of the state of his moral condition. Yes, and I love the way he identifies it in that 24th verse. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? So are we really justified? Oh, let me drop a nugget on you. It's because of our mediator. Not that we're not guilty of any offenses. It's just that by the grace of God, he extends to us his mercy. Watch out, Reverend Register. Yes, it's beautiful when I think about how good God is in a life. But in studying this particular text from Romans, it sheds light on how important it is for us to understand and comprehend the very nature of our condition. Yes. All right, he's echoing it, hopelessness. But we are justified by faith. I'm going to say that again. Justified by faith. So then we find ourselves, if you read and you study the Word of God, you know the Word of God, sanctification. The element that's involved, sanctification. I often make reference of this when I'm teaching the new membership class, when we're talking about sanctification. You know those women who know how to wash, and some of us men that know how to wash, careful wife, we know how to wash the clothes. And you take those clothes and you put them in the washing machine and you pour your water in there and you get your bleach and your detergent and you clean those clothes up. It's a process that takes place. Well, thank you, Jesus. I'm a Christian. But I'm like Paul. I just have to acknowledge some things. I'm not always in line with God's word. Oh, I'm telling the truth. Every last one of you in here, you know what I'm talking about. Shucks, we watch some programs that we need to pray about before we watch it. Listen at what we do. We find ourselves entertaining ourselves in some things that are contrary to the will of God, but we still entertain ourselves. It's called sanctification. It's an ongoing process. It's in the active voice. It's perpetual in our lives. And that's what Paul is alluding to when he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our mediator. And so we have to be mindful. We have to be open and honest with ourselves about who we are and how we got to be who we are in the body of Christ. Oh, listen. So that third stage, glorification. Glorification is a time when we celebrate the victory we have won through Jesus Christ. But that don't come until the end. Whoa, what are you talking about at the end? One of these old days, a few more rising and going down of yonder sun, we will quit this walk of life. But But we leave here celebrating the life we live.
That's right.
And the life we shall live eternally because of my mediator, Jesus Christ. So I celebrate, I glorify because of the simple fact my journey doesn't end because my body is laid up here across the thing and whoever decides to come and look upon this old carcass, but I'll be in glory. Watch out, Reverend Register. Yes. I'm looking for a home in glory. I'm not struggling to stay here. God never promised that I would stay here. I wouldn't want to stay here in this condition, in this world which we currently find ourselves living in. So we deal with two vital points. And that is how we are struggling. God's law reveals our sins. And the struggle with sin. Yeah, that's what we're dealing with. And so we find ourselves having to understand, as Paul pointed out, the oracles of salvation. So when we look at a mediator denotes a person who attempts to make people who are involved in a conflict come to an agreement. And in this case, Jesus is the mediator between God and humanity. Jesus is our mediator. That's what we shout about. That's what we get excited about. Listen, he is the bridge allowing people to have a relationship with God. Paul presents the case for the gospel clearly and forthrightly in his letter to the believers at Rome.
Yes, sir.
Paul presents the good news, salvation. Salvation is available to all. Listen, there's no exclusive group. What makes it exclusive is simply because of the fact that you made a conscious decision in your life to give your life to Christ. You made a conscious decision to believe in the gospel message. Oh, I can talk about myself if I want to. But all of you should have been shouting, thank you, Jesus. What you talking about? I know where I come from. I know the life I live. Yes, I'll never forget the day. I go to my knees every day thanking God for the change he made in Clifford's life, in Slick's life. He rescued me from the cesspool of sin.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, thank you, Jesus. Watch out, Reverend.
You preach it, sir.
Yeah. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Yeah. So I'm so thankful that he changed my life.
Yes, sir.
I get down on my knees and I give thanks to God for changing my life by an old Arkansas preacher and preached the word of God.
Yeah.
And I gave my life to Christ. What about you? So what are you shouting about? What are you having joy about? You know, there's a familiar phrase that I heard Pastor Twyman say, we are fruit inspectors. Fruit inspectors. In other words, we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, not plural, singular, the fruit of the Spirit. And it pronounces love, joy, peace, the fruit of the Spirit. And so it seemed to imply that we go around looking at other people and trying to find out what kind of fruit they bear. Mm-hmm. But watch out, you ought to be careful. The amazing thing about that is most of us spend most of our time evaluating other people instead of evaluating ourselves.
Yes.
Oh, I'm in the book. I'm preaching. I'm in the book. We talking about we fruit inspector. Whose fruit are we inspecting?
Come on, come on, come on.
Huh? Are you taking time to look at who you are? Where you come from? Did you take time to look at it? The fruit inspector. I grew up most of my teenage life hating people.
Come on, sir. Come on.
Stealing and robbing people. Breaking into people's home and doing all kinds of drugs. Trying to find comfort and relief. I did that. I was an alcoholic at the age of 13 because my family didn't know nothing about God. The only thing they introduced me to was liquor, alcohol, and drugs. So I was strung out at 15. Yes, sir. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hating people. I came from a tragic past. But in that tragic past, I discovered that people were no good. Had horrible minds. Oh, I might as well go on and say it. Bear with me, please, for a minute, Pastor.
Go ahead.
Yes, yes. My father murdered my mother when I was 12 years old. I hated that man for that. I was raised up in an environment of crime and corruption. But in that crime and corruption, old Arkansas preacher, when I went to the church to rob the church and steal the money from the church, I end up stepping out of the aisle with me and my homies. They didn't come with me. They tried to stop me, but we were looking to get the chain purse. You understand what I'm saying? Plus, I was chasing a pretty little girl that was there too. But the fact of the matter is, I had the wrong intentions. But I heard that preacher talking about Jesus. What you talking about? I heard him declaring the word of God. I said, I need that. And the Lord saved me that day. I went there as a thief, but I left there with a relationship in Christ. What you talking about? He changed my life. So what kind of fruit inspector are you?
Come on, sir.
Who you inspecting? Are you taking time to look at your life?
Yeah.
If I'm going to be a fruit inspector, that's what I would be looking at. So I thank God for my mediator, Jesus Christ, sitting at the right hand of God. Because every now and then I mess up. I entertain some thoughts that ain't right. And I have to say, Lord, forgive me. But Jesus is sitting there at the right hand. I died for him. I paid the price for him. Please forgive him. My mediator. I thank God for my mediator. So we see how important it is as Paul presents the good news of salvation and how it is available to all regardless of a person's identity, sins, or heritage. We are saved by grace through faith. And that faith is in Jesus Christ and his finished work on Calvary. Paul presents the facts of the gospel in Romans and declares his allegiance to it. And he has us to understand that if you're going to be an evaluator of people, you ought to first be an evaluator of yourself. And listen now, for a foundation, I invite your attention to the gospel according to Matthew's in that 22nd chapter. And Jesus have the lawyer to understand the importance of recognizing what the commandments are. For in keeping the commandments, the two great commandments are simple. And you find that in verse 37. And Jesus said unto the lawyer, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So what kind of fruit inspectors are you? Love thy neighbor as thyself. But how are you going to love yourself if you don't love God? Everything starts with God. So Paul reminds them in Romans, the first chapter, when he deals with his salutation in verse 1 of chapter 1, in these three verses, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated, listen to what he said, set aside, ordained, and authenticated for the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets and the holy scriptures. And I'm talking about the word of God. I'm talking about the infallible truth. I'm talking about the Bible. Listen to what he simply said. Concerning what? His son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Listen to what he says. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. What do you believe? To the Jew first and also to the Greek. There's no discrimination. Why are you going to get mad with Trump if he act like he don't supposed to act? Well, how's he supposed to act? He's supposed to act just like a person that don't know anything about Jesus Christ and all these other people that you know and you run into. What are you talking about? But if you're a child of God, thank God for our mediator, Jesus Christ, in bringing us into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. For he says, I'm not ashamed of it, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God, what? Revealed from faith to faith. Yes, and as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Yeah, I hear you, my brother. Therefore, I'm skipping over to the fifth chapter in verse 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you get that? We have peace with God through our mediator, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in what? The hope of the glory of God. So we turn our attention to the text scripture. Romans, that seventh chapter, set forth calmly that for every sinner, whether Jew or Gentile, whether white or black, Hispanic or whoever you are, there is salvation full and free through faith in Christ Jesus, apart from the law and works. I can't be good enough to qualify for heaven. Neither can you. But thank be to God through the mediator, Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus is the bridge allowing people to have a relationship with God. You know what a bridge does, doesn't it? He brings two bodies together. Hey, you follow me there. Now you're talking about it. So we then have that relationship because we got a bridge to go over on. So I'm leaving one side to go to the other. I'm leaving the calamity of this world to go to the other. But every now and then I fall along the way and I recognize, come boldly to the throne of grace. Confessing your sins. Watch out. For he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. Thank you, Jesus. You have a relationship with God. But I invite your attention to James, the third chapter, verses 16 through 18, and it makes it clear for us concerning the bridge. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion. Where envy and strife is. So for the love of me, have God changed your life? There's no way I could look out in the audience and walk down the street and see another man and hate him and want to rob and do some harm to somebody. There's no way in my life can I do that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because Jesus changed my life. He changed my life. He changed some things in my life. I don't see a drunk man no more. I see a man that needs Jesus Christ. I don't see a prostitute no more. I see a woman that needs Jesus Christ. I don't see a thug or a gangster no more. I see a person that needs Jesus Christ. He's the bridge, I tell you, that all of us come over on. Yes. So it's not about evil works. 17 have us to know, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. There's a lot of that going on. Listen, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace, and them that make peace by the grace of God. What? Y'all should be shouting along now. God didn't change your life. You mean to tell me you're not walking around with a little joy in your heart? You mean to tell me you sitting up here in the service right now and have no joy in your heart? You think I'm crazy because I'm telling you about the goodness of the Lord? I'm simply telling you about the mediator that changed all of our lives. Jesus is the mediator, I tell you. Listen at 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 5. I exalt therefore that first of all, supplication, prayer, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For all men. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Listen, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our salvation, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And the truth is Jesus saves to the utmost. He saved. That's what they were talking about in the song, Hallelujah. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So I put you on alert. Listen, if you will. Talking about Jesus, the arbiter, a person who settles disputes or has ultimate authority in the matters of our lives. Being a Christian poses for us many sin challenges that we encounter in our fellowship with God. We come short every day, and we have to get on our knees, or you should, and ask God for forgiveness. Please note that Jesus, in his humanitarianism, is the mediator that helps us in our journey on this Christian journey. I got a home over in glory, and I'm glad about it. What you talking about, Reverend Register? So when you see over in Romans, the 8th chapter, you see a perpetuation going on. It is something that denotes the previous thing. It functioned as an adverb, making a conjunction between 7 and 8. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ,
right,
by whom also we have what? Faith. Hey, come on, somebody back there. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit working in our life. So please know, Jesus is the mediator. From Genesis to the book of Revelations, we will find the revelation of Jesus Christ manifested from the very book of Genesis when it talks about the tree of life. You can read it for yourself when you get an opportunity, Genesis 2 and 9. We see in Romans how important it is to comprehend that, but also God establishes the covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, which denotes that all people will be saved eventually, starting from the Old Testament. But what I really, really love is Isaiah's prophetic gospel of judgment and hope. Watch out, preacher. Isaiah 9:6. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. I'm talking about a mediator. You ought to catch up with me if you haven't at this point. I'm reminded of a poem I like to share with you that I lifted from one of my commentaries. It goes like this. Oh, long and dark the stairs I trod with trembling feet to find my God, gaining a foothold bit by bit, then slipping back and losing it, never progressing, striving still with weakening grasp and faltering will, bleeding to climb to God while he serenely smiled, unnoting me. Then came a certain time when I loosed my hold and fell thereby, down to the lowest step, my fall, as if I had not climbed at all. What? Now when I lie despairing there, listening, what? A footfall on the stair.
Yes, sir.
On that same stair where I am afraid, faltered and fell and lie dismayed. And lo, when hope had ceased to be, my God came down the stairs to me, to rescue me. What you talking about? He was wounded. I'm talking about the suffering servant. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was up on him, and with his stripes we are healed. I said, with his stripes we are healed. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. Look at Jesus, I tell you, coming down through 42 generations, pulling the west pride all by himself. Stopped off in Bethlehem of Judea, born in a manger, tabernacled around it for 33 years, healing the sick, raising the dead. Jesus, that Lamb of God, he made his way to the Garden of Gethsemane. But in Gethsemane, that same Jesus said, I'm the one you want. Take me, march me from judgment hall to judgment hall. They whipped him beyond recognition. I'm talking about Jesus. They led him out to Golgotha. They nailed him to the cross. He hung out there until the ninth hour. And in that ninth hour, he bowed his head. He declared, it's finished. What you talking about, preacher? I paid the debt. I've satisfied the debt. The blood was drawn from my veins. And he died, was buried in a borrowed tomb. But glory to the Lamb of God. Early. Early, I tell you, on the third day morning, that same Jesus got up with all power in his hand. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me.
My mediator, he's the rock.
Amen, amen. Glory to the Lamb of God. Please stand to your feet. The door to the church is open. The gospel has been preached. Jesus paid the price for our salvation. For indeed, he is our mediator. Amen, amen. He's our mediator. Amen.
I've been changed.
Come from over here. Look what the Lord has done. Your opportunity. The word says, harden not your heart. This is your opportunity.
Right now is the moment.
The Lord is speaking.
Today is the day.
Is there another?
I've been changed. I have waited for this moment. And I won't let it pass me by.
Yes.
I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be.
Can anybody testify to that?
Your presence came and changed me.
Ain't no going back. I won't. And praise God. Were you blessed by that message? Amen, amen, amen. Thank and praise God for his matchless grace and his mercy. When I think about Jesus as being our mediator, he's that middle man. That one is making intercession for us right now. He's interceding on our behalf. His work is never done. And so we celebrate. We thank God for that word. Thank God for his messenger. He preached himself out of his bracelet. I'm contemplating whether I want to give it back to him. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. We got quite a few that have come. We ask that you sit patiently as our church clerk prepares to read the names of those who have come to join us.
Good afternoon, church. To Pastor Minor and the entire Macedonia Baptist Church, we have coming today Barbara Nichols, and she's coming by Christian Experience from Triumph Baptist Church. Amen. We also have coming Pierre West, coming by Christian Experience from Jude Missionary Baptist Church. The newlyweds. We have coming also Katora West, and she's coming by Christian Experience from Word of Truth Baptist Church. We have someone coming that you know very well. We have Robert Howard. He's coming by Christian Experience from International Gospel Center. We have Shelby Howard, his wife, coming by Christian Experience from International Gospel Center. And we also have coming young Rowan Howard. He's coming as a candidate for baptism.
Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise this evening, this morning, afternoon, should I say. Newlyweds. Let me tell you, one of the best ways to start off a new marriage is in the house of God. You could not be in a better place. There's a new beginning for you guys. And just like you're starting a new journey as one in Christ, you're going to solidify yourself here with us at Macedonia Baptist Church. We're going to put our arms around you. We're going to love you. And we're going to be here for you. Amen. Amen. You trust, I trust that the Holy Spirit led you guys here. Amen. All right. Amen. My sister, I know you came here. I mean, you stood up and you gave your testimony about your grandbaby that you want to grow. You want her to grow up. Listen, let me tell you something. We will always do Sunday school here. We'll always have that educational arms here at Macedonia Baptist Church because we believe in Christian education. Christian education is important, especially in our young people. And so we're going to continue to do that, continue to reach out. So God bless you, and thank you for coming as well. Yeah, I know a little bit about y'all. This is my son-in-law and my daughter, Shelby. And these are my grandchildren here. Yes, amen, amen. So they've come over here, Macedonia Baptist Church, to be with us. This is something that has been prayerfully been praying about this for a long time. And I know that you have, and I thank God that you waited on God, that you didn't let nobody else influence you. You waited on the Lord to do this, because except the Lord build the house, they that labor, labor in vain. And so you are here strictly by what the Holy Spirit has done in your life and his direction for you. So I thank God for you. It's good to be able to worship with my grandkids. Ain't nothing like grandkids. Is that right, El?
Yes.
Yeah. Ain't nothing. This is my little L here. Yeah, nothing like grandkids. So we thank and praise God for you all. We don't take it for granted. There's many good, great churches you could have went to, but we thank God that the Lord led you by here. And we plan on being in the family. So we're going to ask that you go with, who's coming? Reverend Bannister? No, Reverend Register, you stay right there. Come on, Reverend Bannister. Reverend Bennett, can you give him a hand? Can you assist him as well? We're going to ask that you go with Reverend Bannister and Reverend Bennett. They're going to have you fill out some paperwork, have prayer with you. And on the first Sunday, next Sunday, we're going to give you the right hand of fellowship. All right? All right. Thank God for you. Yeah, we got one for a candidate for baptism, which is Rowan. All right. So Dr. Barham is going to come and see you, okay? All right. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. And look at what the Lord has done. It's a tremendous blessing. We honor God. Again, you've been blessed by the word of God. Now it is time for us to bless the man of God. Amen. Amen. Come on, y'all should be shouting right about now. Watch out, Reverend Minor. Amen. Watch out. We're going to ask that you get your best gift in your hand and please stand to your feet and ask that you'll come around, that you'll be a blessing to this man of God as he has blessed us tremendously with the word of God. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, come on, come on. Amen. Thank you.
blessing me. Every time I turn around, he's blessing me.
Pray. Heavenly Father, we'd like to thank you this morning. Thank you for that sermon, Lord Jesus. Thank you for that message. Thank you for the messenger that are soaked down into our souls and we can go out day by day and live that message. Bless this offering, Lord Jesus. Bless the ones that gave and bless the ones that had not to give, but the desire to give. We bless them. In your darling son Jesus' name we pray. Let us all say amen. Amen and amen.
Amen. We just want to thank once again the man of God for bringing that wonderful message. I always tell you, let's be doers of the word, not just hearers. I hope that this wasn't an entertainment for you, but you received something from the Lord that you can take out of here and give to someone else. We're going to ask the Reverend Heritage to come back now and give us our prayer and our benediction.
God bless you, saints. The Lord is good all the time and worthy to be praised, and we praise his holy name. We thank you for your prayers, and it's wonderful. I have to remind you of an expression that I always reference from the church member's handbook. There's no finer company to be in the company of the saints. That being said, I was sitting there in my seat, and Reverend Minor, our pastor, was encouraging me, and I just had to remind him. He was talking about people from Mississippi, and he kept trying to help me find out where he come from. And I said, well, you back down there in them woods and in the bayous down there catching them alligators and wild pigs and barbecuing them and carrying on. I'm talking about natural sketchy Mississippi. And then he had the audacity to get me and put me in his car. He gonna chauffeur me to our retreat. And along the way, he said, they're your kin folks on the side of the road. I said, what? On the side of the road? He said, yeah, roadkill. Them my kin folks. Now, how you gonna not love a pastor like Reverend Terry Minor? Then when he got me home, this is the part I want to get y'all. I want y'all to get this. I'm telling this. He got me home with a bad back and kicked me out of his truck. Let us stand. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, and I'm thankful for his healing. I'm thankful for his mercy and his grace. Thank you, choir, song leaders, for blessing my soul today. I try to encourage the choir, let them know when they're blessing my soul in the word of God. Yes, I love you, saints. It's good to see my brother, even Deacon James Ross. Good to see him here. Yes. So let us look to the Lord. Most holy and gracious Father, we pray now, thanking you for another day, thanking you for another worship service, thanking you for the fellowship of the saints, Lord. We're truly grateful for your grace and mercy. We're grateful for all your provisions, the time, talents, and treasures you bless us with. We're thankful for your inspiring word, Lord, helping us in our efforts to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. Now, Lord, as we prepare to dismiss from this assembly, but never from your presence, Heavenly Father, we thank you for our pastor, Pastor Terry Minor. We thank you for this fellowship. We thank you for all your blessings. And we pray, expressing our gratitude by the authority of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let every heart say amen. 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 Bless you, saints. Now, by the grace of God, we praise and thank you, Lord, for another fellowship. We thank you for the mercy and your eternal love. And we pray and express our gratitude. Let us sing. Amen. I have my godson here with me and his lovely wife. He want to be incognito. I'm going to get him in a minute. Yeah, I'm going to get it.